I don't watch The Simpsons. You ever watch The Simpsons?
Not really, to be honest with you.
I don't know. I don't know why you wouldn't be honest with me. There'd be no reason to lie about something like that.
I never understand that, to be honest with you.
To be honest with you.
It's like, huh, what? It doesn't really make it implies that you've been lying the whole time.
Yeah. By saying anything implies that you're being honest. We just assume honesty at basically all points.
Well, you should at least, yeah.
I'm honestly just like so shocked at how clear we sound, so crystal, so precise.
Yeah, you're gonna say that now, and then you're gonna play back the end of the rest of this podcast, and it's gonna be like it's gonna be
chalkboard scratching.
Hold on.
Should we give you the Fox? Should I play like Fox music, like the football music?
Am I good to go now?
Yeah, that was it. That was really. I put my heart and soul into that.
You did a lot. Right, and welcome to Podcast and Chill, a podcast where we chill. And yes, a silky voice you hear. He's back, Chris Strain on the mic. Here, joined with, as always, Weston Blaze. What's going on, Wes?
Hey, man, your opens are so awkward. It makes me so uncomfortable that I feel like I need to leave the show sometimes. And that's why.
Hey, you're the one who keeps asking me to do it.
It keeps me on my toes. Because if I do it, I get bored of myself, and I already have to listen back to this, you know, to edit out most of your racial slurs and all that stuff. So the people.
Yeah, I appreciate you telling all the listeners about my racial slurs.
You know, I don't want them to get it in the final cut, you know.
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point. You got to do a lot of editing when I'm on. That's why I'm not on very often.
So I really just wanted to talk about the Lakers for like an hour. All
right.
And specifically, I want to talk about JaVale McGee.
Mm.
The move that...
That just feels right.
that broke the NBA. No, seriously. So was LeBron going to the Lakers... Like, was it a move that you figured out where you were in that moment? Was it a JFK moment?
Yeah. I mean, it was a big deal. I was watching the Yankee game, actually. But nonetheless, yeah, I'm going to remember that. I mean, it's such a big deal. And it's like really is a huge shift in the NBA. Like it's ginormous. He's the best player on the planet, possibly the best player ever. And he's going to one of the most known franchises in the world, like not just in basketball, in all of sports. So, I mean, yeah, it's a really big deal.
Yeah. I was at Applebee's enjoying a nice 2-for-20 meal, which is actually a pretty solid deal. Every time LeBron has switched teams, I've been wrong about what team he's going to, and this was no exception. I thought he was going back to Cleveland, so it shows what I know. I know very little about what's in LeBron's head, but I don't know. Like the only ways we have to learn about anything in future behavior is past behavior, and all of his past behavior suggested that a couple of things were going to happen. One, that he's going to go to a situation where his family could thrive. So, okay, cross it off the list. We got that. Lakers, fine. But also, he was going to go to a team that could win. And there would be multiple stars to follow, which doesn't look like there's going to be. So, I don't know. I mean, is Kawhi going to get traded to the Lakers? Maybe not. And if he's not on the Lakers and it's LeBron with, like, a bunch of younglings, I don't really know, like... If that's good, is that good?
Well, you know what? I think LeBron, he's had so many hard-fought battles with Luol Deng that when it was an option to go to a team with Luol Deng.
Deng could get minutes on this team. Deng could get minutes on this team. Let's really not sleep on that fact. They're talking about stretching and cutting and stuff, but like he could probably get minutes.
Which former Bulls contract is worse, Joakim Noah or Luol Deng?
How dare you? I think Joakim Noah could still play too, but whatever. It's besides the point.
Look, any chance can get to slide in a Joakim Noah bad contract reference, I'm going to do it.
I know. It comes in out of nowhere, and fans of other teams don't understand this about Knicks fans, but you'll just be like, you'll be watching Bones on like TNT, just like on a random night, and they'll just be like a make fun of the Knicks joke. Like, hey, I'm just trying to sit here and watch Bones, and there's like these jokes about the Knicks being terrible. Like, I didn't need this. I was trying to escape. And they're everywhere. Hard to explain, but you just don't get it unless you're a fan of whatever. Yeah, that's besides the point. So, Kentavious Caldwell-Pope back to the Lakers, $12 million. That's how you build the roster out, definitely. That was wink, wink, right? With because they have the same agent.
Yeah, I mean, it had to be. I don't know. If you can go through all these moves, but it's just like weird that they signed all these people so early. Like, I feel like the market's going to dry up, and I don't think you had to give Lance Stephenson $4 million on July 1st. Like,
you didn't.
I don't think that was something that needed to get done. But maybe they have a bigger picture vision for what this roster is going to be. But I mean, heck, this roster doesn't look too great right now.
It's not great. I mean, them giving Randall, or them passing on Randall, actually. I don't understand why you'd give like Rondo that money and not like a young guy in Julius Randall. Like, what is the deal with that? Do you know who Randall's agent is? I don't know why you would know that, but
no, I have no idea.
Is it not Rich Paul?
I don't know. Do you want me to look it up?
Is there like a database of player agents? I don't even know if that exists. Wow, did we just stumble upon an idea?
I don't know if we have the inside knowledge to get that done, but I'm sure someone has it somewhere.
My quick Googling is not finding me anything.
Aaron Mintz and Steve Heumann.
Well, that sounds like a fake name.
Aaron Mintz, CAA Sports. Oh boy, okay. Same agent as Ron Baker. Don't get too excited.
That guy, wow, he deserves a raise. He got Ron Baker almost $5 million
Luke
guaranteed.
Kennard, D'Angelo Russell. Yeah. All right, well, that's his agent.
So if the Lakers, assuming the Lakers don't trade for Kawhi Leonard and their team is basically as constructed as it is today, I don't know. Like, are they even a four seed? Is that too much? Is that blasphemy?
Well, I mean, behind the Rockets and Golden State, who do you think is ahead of them still? Like, a lot of people are still high on OKC or like think OKC can figure it out. It's like, I don't think OKC is that good.
OKC
Portland,
lost.
Where they get the three seed?
Portland got the three seed. Yeah, and I don't know.
Is it crazy to think that the Lakers could get three seed? No.
Not crazy. I mean, are the Lakers better than the Jazz? I don't think so. I think the Jazz are pretty good.
The Jazz are good, but like, there's a lot of teams that after Golden State and the Rockets, there's probably like three or four teams that you could say are in the running for that. But I think when you put them all up against each other, one of those teams has LeBron James and one of those teams doesn't. So I put them.
It's just so hard. Like, this dude just doesn't know what it's going to be like in the West. Like, there's no Knicks in the West. There's no Nets in the West. There's no Magic in the West. Give me some other Eastern Conference teams. there's no Atlanta in the West.
Yeah, and I agree that it's harder, but it really is the difference between playing a lot of these teams three times or playing them two times. So ultimately, I think it's going to be a harder regular season, but I don't think it changes too much about what LeBron can actually do during the regular season.
Like, yeah, I mean, but Denver.
And a lot of times he only gets up for big teams.
Right, but he can't afford to coast anymore. He can't afford to coast anymore. Mm-hmm. He's the best player on his team by a mile and a half. He just can't afford to coast anymore. He can play like the Kings, and that's like your only gimme win in the entire Western Conference. Like the Nuggets.
It's not even like he coasted last year on Cleveland. I mean, it's the first time he played all 82, right?
True.
So it's not
That's
even
true.
Like he coasted last year. I mean,
I think there still is a little bit of him coasting, especially on defense. But yeah, I mean, yeah, played all 82. So it's a good point. I mean, the Nuggets missed the playoffs last year. They were really good. And like the Wolves are an 8 seed. And the Clippers missed, and they're going to be good. The Grizzlies missed the playoffs, and they're going to be good this year. The Mavericks are going to be better. Like, I don't know. The Suns with this big Trevor Ariza move, they're going to be way better.
But the Suns are trying to win now, which is the funniest thing. But besides the point, I don't want to talk about the Suns.
Yeah. But I don't know. I mean, I'm looking forward to Kevin Durant being a free agent again next year and coming to New York and bringing the Knicks back. So I'm excited about that.
Yeah, it'll work out good, especially with your elaborate plan to have Kristaps tear his ACL so you guys can do a elusive tank again.
The elusive
incognito tank again.
Yeah, and we'll have three lottery picks, the team with KP and Kevin Durant, and we'll be the best team in the East forever. For the rest of
I'll
time.
Let you sit on that one.
I don't really feel like talking about DeMarcus Cousins. The impact of him has probably been overblown on Twitter, but still, it was pretty jarring to see him on Golden State. Do you have any like quick thing on that, or not really?
Well, I mean, the big thing to me is that was what his market was at. You know, like he didn't get many offers, or what seemed like any offers at all. So maybe his market was literally that low. His value was just that low on a guy who's, for all intents and purposes, been bad in the locker room, been bad for team morale, and is going to be out for half a year. And a smart team took advantage of it. And that's, you know, that happens all the time. It just doesn't necessarily happen with all-star level players, with a team that has four all-stars already.
Yeah. I'm very interested in Oklahoma City. I think the next like couple of weeks here are going to be super, super interesting for them because, all right, so they get PG back. They get him on a three-year deal. Somebody tweeted out their tax bill. So let me just say, let me get it exactly right. So Woj tweeted out the other day that they have over $300 million in salary and luxury tax bill for this year, which they're not going to pay. They're not going to pay all of that. They're going to pay some of it, but they're not going to pay all of it. So This is like NBA, you know, nerd thing, whatever. Maybe people don't even care about this, but I'm interested to see what they're going to do to get off money and how they're going to do it. And is it going to be Melo buyout, which, I mean, the Carmelo Anthony, let's buy out, you know, 22 million of his 26 and send him home and he signs the minimum with the Lakers is like, I see it in my head already. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not sure what they're going to do. They're not going to spend all that money, not in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I don't think so either. And I don't get the logic there because they lost in the first round. Like, and they're having like these parties like, yeah, we're going to run it back. There's unfinished business. It's like, what? Like, what are we talking
about? Okay. All right. Okay.
Like what is the unfinished business? Beating the Jazz? Like, yeah, what are we talking about?
Like Donovan Mitchell was the best player in that series last year. I mean, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I think Paul George made a big mistake. I really, really loved his fit with Philadelphia. And they had space for him. And he goes there. And I think he slides in really, really well. Not ball dominant, but can be a secondary creator around Ben Simmons. Faces the floor, just solid defender. It was just like, I thought it was a perfect basketball fit for him. And a team that could win now. And he just kind of went back in this team that I think by the end of the year is almost going to be sort of sad to watch. Because they have two really, really talented players. But they don't fit perfectly. And I don't think they're going to be able to figure it out on the court. And it's just going to be, I think they're going to be a tough watch this year.
So they have some trades to make and to get off some money. So they got to get it out of Singler. They got to get it out of Melo. They got to do something to cut some cash. So as I always do, I was looking for the Knicks to trade Courtney Lee to somebody. And
oh, God damn it.
It's funny because Courtney Lee and, you know, a couple of filler contracts to the Oklahoma City Thunder for Carmelo Anthony's $28 million works really well. So I know.
Wait, hey, are you just going to put Kylo Quinn in the trade or what? Because this would be like the perfect trade.
No, it's like Lee has 13 and it's like some other filler. It might be like Ron Baker's contract is expiring, but like Courtney Lee is good and they get out of like 8 or so million. And the only way they can make it work is to use the Carmelo Anthony trade exception that the Knicks have from the Carmelo Anthony trade.
Nice.
So it's possible. It won't happen, but it's
they have to give back draft picks to you guys, right? Is what you're saying?
Yeah. We take some draft picks.
Yeah. Wow. I mean, that is the Pablo Prigioni for 2 second round picks and trades right there. That's to anyone who's following him, the Knicks 3 years ago.
That was the greatest deal I've ever seen.
What an incredible trade that was. That's
Pablo Prigioni might not have deserved two pepperoni pizzas with his trade. So I don't, let alone 2 second round picks.
Absolutely incredible. Just the fleecing. Yeah, I think you're right. I think OKC's going to find creative ways to get off this money, and that's something Sam Presti has always done pretty well, just finding creative deals. So I'm not too worried about that. But who knows? Maybe their owner really wants to go all in now. It feels like a weird time to go all in after you lost KD. But you know what? Go for it, OKC. Do you.
So I'd like to also congratulate you after this free agency period on our friend Giannis being the best player in the Eastern Conference. Really. I mean, really well done. I'm happy.
Skip Bayless says it's Joel Embiid, so I mean, that means it's Joel Embiid, right? Skip's never lied.
Well, Skip, it's funny. Skip plants his flag in something early, and he'll just do whatever he takes to defend it. So he liked Embiid in the draft. So it's like, oh well, I'm Embiid. You know?
Yeah, it's true.
But so you texted me this. This is what a couple days ago you said. Nike new Nike shoe, signature shoe coming out. Best player in the East, 2K cover. What a nice week for Giannis. What a good week.
Yeah, and it's about as big of a lock that he's going to be the all-star captain from the East, too.
Yes.
He was only like 50,000 votes behind LeBron last year, who had the most votes. So he had the second most total votes. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be a heck of a year to be a Bucks fan. It might not be on the court for the team, but to watch Giannis shine.
Hey, you might jump up in front of the Cavs. That's something.
Yeah. Look, the Bucks have been fighting to be a top four team in the East for years, so I'm starting to lose my optimism.
All right, wait, so tell me about Jabari. What do you – tell me what you want to happen right now.
Well,
Jabari's restricted free agent. What do you want to happen?
Yeah. Ideally, he's going to – I would like for him to sign, like, a three-year deal at, like, $8 million a year.
Oh,
but
get
it. But he thinks he's a $20 million player, so he's going to take the qualifying offer if anything like that. But he needs to take long-term money because he could easily go down with another ACL injury or knee injury and just be done, like, be out of the league, be minimum guy that people are just throwing flyers on to hope he can stay healthy. Like, I don't know. I think he ends up taking the qualifying offer, but I don't know where the market is for him. So that's what is going to end up happening. And the Bucks aren't ever going to offer anything high because they're going to – get into the tax too, especially so after signing the great Ersan Ilyasova.
That was his third run with the Bucks. Really good. I mean, 20 plus million for Ersan Ilyasova. Really well done.
That's another thing. Like I talked about it a couple times. I was like, I feel like you can wait out the market. Ersan Ilyasova is $7 million a year on the first day. Like that was a 12-01 move. Like who was doing that for Ersan?
Yeah, there no market. There's no one out there banging on his door.
Who are you bidding against? I don't know. I think a lot of teams surprisingly mismanage free agency so badly, and I think that was just another example of it. It's just sad that it's my team.
Why don't they put all of their resources, all of their personnel, their investments into having other people scout games and players and markets instead of the draft? And just like, hey, you know, look at Jonathan Givony's big board like a couple of months after and kind of draft by position and just do normal because when it comes down to it, nobody knows what the fuck they're talking about with the draft. So why don't you just kind of guess with the draft because no one really knows anyway and just use your fucking resources on players that you actually can watch and play against other NBA guys. Why don't teams just do that? Just look at Chad Ford's big board day before the draft.
Well, I think it's tough because I don't think people necessarily know with NBA players themselves either. Like from my own experience with the Bucks last year, they had Gerald Green and they chose DeAndre Liggins over him. And it's like, oh, wait, Gerald Green is playing in the Western Conference Finals and being a useful player? It's like, oh, we didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, but DeAndre Liggins can guard point guards, Chris. DeAndre Liggins can guard point guards. What do you mean?
Yeah, DeAndre Liggins made 1 out of 37 threes last year, so he's still there. Scouting players in general is kind of a crapshoot because I think a lot of times, and this is in college, whether you're scouting for the draft or scouting actual NBA players, it's really fit oriented with a lot of these players. So I think it becomes tough to kind of find those like market inefficiencies and find those guys who find the rough.
That becomes
really, really hard. A lot of times it's just like a guy works out and, you know, there's no rhyme or reason to it.
Why, if you were the Bucks, if you were an NBA team, wouldn't you want to put your best guy, your best scout, your best personnel dude, and just have him, if you had to have him do one thing for an entire year, would you rather him, A, figure out if Jaren Jackson Jr. is, just have him watch all the Jaren Jackson film, just completely scout him, go talk to his algebra teacher, go do everything, or would you rather him watch and look for and talk to everybody and everything that has to do with Zach LaVine and see what he's doing? His first couple years in league, watch all of his film, watch every pick and roll he's ever done. I feel like knowing the Zach LaVine answer is better than knowing the draft pick answer because you're never going to know the draft pick answer. And you might be able to find 10% more insight into what Zach LaVine could be versus that draft pick who's 17, you know?
Yeah. I think one thing, though, is it's harder. I feel like it's harder to scout those dudes who are in the NBA because, A, you can't really talk to them before, so you can't, like, kind of get a feel for them before. You'd have to sign them, and it's hard to get their medical information from when they got into the league. Like, that's not stuff that you can readily get. Right. And that's things that you can readily get with draft picks. Also, it's two really different types of scouting.
It is.
So it becomes hard. Like, there are scouts who are really good at scouting NBA guys, and there are scouts who are really good at scouting overseas guys, and there's a big difference. And not every team, believe it or not, has one that can do each. Sometimes they just got a couple who really stay in their lane and can't really veer off that. And while that's not ideal, it's the reality of it a lot.
So you, by the time this posts, I would have a couple days before probably posted the podcast I did with your brother about the Yankees. Is a very baseball-heavy podcast. And at the end of it, he asked me my feelings on Kevin Knox and how I feel about everyone booing him and whatnot. And I sort of just reiterated that point of just like, no one really knows anything about the draft. Like it's all just a crapshoot. And there was a piece, I forget who wrote it, in the Washington Post the other day about how we're not getting better at drafting, we're getting worse, and just like year over year, we just like consistently don't know about guys who are going to be in the league, guys who are going to end up being all stars. We're just like, it's not a good efficient use of someone's time. So that's the end of the rant, I guess.
Yeah, I'm with you. And would that be with as much as a crap draft is, I was still livid when the Bucks drafted. Knowing that even if the guy who I wanted was there, he might not work out, I was still pissed off about it.
Because why? You're mad that he was white. Just say you're mad because he was white.
No. I was mad because Lonnie Walker is 10 times better of a prospect than DiVincenzo. DiVincenzo is – he doesn't even have half the ceiling that Lonnie Walker
is. He's a gamer.
And it's like the Bucks are – I don't want to go on the Bucks draft, but the Bucks are drafting.
He's a gym rat.
They're already an established winning team, and they don't need extra talent. It's like, hey, guys, no, we definitely need more talent. So, I don't know. They're drafting like – they're using the 17th pick to try to go for a role player as opposed to just swing for the fences. It's like, hey, well, we got Giannis from drafting around 17 and swinging for the fences. Maybe you want to try that.
He's got hustle.
No more Bucks talk, because I will talk about him for 2 months.
All right. So, other free agency moves other than the big ones, the Lakers, all those guys. Anything that stood out to you in particular? Like, we had the salary dump move from Denver to get off of Wilson Chandler. That was interesting. Yeah. I mean, the Julius Randle thing we kind of talked about a little bit. The Michael Carter Williams thing in Houston is huge, I think. Right?
Just absolutely unbelievable.
But yeah, I mean, the East is just, I mean, what are they going to do about this? Everyone is going to the West. I mean, the only guy who's gone from West to East has been Gordon Hayward, right? I mean, the past like 10 years, like, I don't, like, what guys are doing that move? I mean, Melo did a while ago, but I mean, the West is still, they got to reseed these fucking teams.
Yeah, I mean, if you talk about the 1 to 16 seeding, do you think it can actually get passed? Because my thinking is the East team owners are not going to vote for it because they see, oh, well, we have an easier path to the finals, path to the playoffs, path to advancing in the playoffs. And that's just a lot of extra money. So I don't know how they can get it passed because the NBA, like Adam Silver can't do anything unilaterally. It's all through the owners. And he has to get a two-thirds vote?
Yeah, I guess the way to go around that.
You got to get 7 owners on the East to get that. I just don't see how you get it.
I think the only way you could get around it would be, okay, well, we'll do it like this. We'll have all 16 teams that would normally make it. So you take 10 from the East, 10 from the West, and then you reseed them after the fact. And then you could avoid the Houston Golden State, like, real NBA Finals in the Western Conference and have that be the actual finals. That's something I've seen floated and I kind of do like. I don't think it solves all the problems, but it's a step.
That's an interesting idea. I kind of like that. I think that works out good. It ends up getting some funky seedings, but I think that's a cool idea. And then do you like the idea? I would kind of like the idea of the top seeds in each thing getting to choose their opponent.
Yeah, that feels a little gimmicky. I mean, I like it.
I love it.
But I don't think that would ever happen.
Oh, I don't think so either, but I think it's such a good idea. I think it just creates a random rivalry because they're like, the worst team's like feeling all disrespected. It's just too good.
Yeah. I mean,
I think it leads to more upsets because these teams are like emotionally crazy.
Yeah. Like you'd get the Celtics wine and play like the Wizards or like some like big rivalry game. Like we could get something like that, which would be fun. I mean, I would like it.
I mean, imagine if the Celtics chose like the Pacers. Imagine like,
yeah,
a pissed off, angry Lance Stevenson playing for the whole series.
Oh God, that's
just
terrifying!
Being an asshole every time he scores, like just it would just be so good. It'd be more theater than it already is. But
and it's already great theater. I don't know.
I mean, East and West disparity is something that it's hard because there's no really good way to fix it. You can't force players to go to the East, and it's kind of weird because a lot like there are East destination places, like they're the Heat, they're New York, there are teams sort of comparable to what they have in the West, and you know, it just hasn't worked out that people want to go there recently.
Yeah.
You know?
So on other news, I saw that Devin Booker and the Suns are closing out a max deal. Okay, so it's about I don't know the exact terms, but it's something like 5 years, 150, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which is, if my memory serves, about the same contract that Andrew Wiggins got a year ago, and that contract already kind of looks like an albatross. And they're different players, but I'm not saying if you're the Suns, would you have done it? But like, do you think a couple years from now, the Suns are going to be in an Andrew Wiggins situation, or they're going to be pumped to just have him on the team? You know, what do you think?
I mean, I think the Suns,
have their hands tied in this way because they can't give up Devin Booker or try to lowball him because they can't lose him. So it becomes really, really tough. And I think the team just has to bet on the guy and just hope it works out. They have a lot of young talent there. And my guess is they're like, hey, if all of our young talent works out, they're still on rookie scale deals. This is going to be our only really, really big salary. It doesn't look as bad when you look at it from a holistic perspective. But when you look at it as an individual deal, yeah, it seems like a bit of an overpay.
Yeah, I just Devin Booker's not – like he might be good, but we don't know that he's good yet. I mean, he's sort of in the situation that like Kyrie Irving was in a couple years ago where he was kind of just good stats, bad team guy. And that might mean that he's going to be good in the future because he put up those stats. It might, but it doesn't mean it completely. And it still might leave the door open for him just being that guy for the rest of his career, I guess. So I don't know. I mean, I'm not watching a ton of Phoenix Suns basketball. And I haven't been in the past, but I don't know if Devin Booker's that guy. I think the 70-point thing kind of put him in a different light. Do you think that way? Like, he's just kind of like – he's kind of just in the ethos of, this guy's a scorer. He's just like a professional scorer. And maybe he is. He probably is. He is. But I don't know.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's more perception.
Yeah, you beat me to the point I was going to say. But he scored 70 points in a 15-point loss. So.
Yeah, it's – I don't know. It's interesting. I'll be watching that closely. I like Devin Booker. By all accounts, he's really cool. He's like, dude, and he's a big Kobe fan, which is like kind of code for just being like, oh, I'm a killer and I'm super good. So I don't know. He's fine. We'll see.
I think Devin Booker's he's good enough to warrant the deal. I mean, we'll see if it ends up working out. I mean, a lot of times you got to bet on these dudes and hope that they live up to the contract. Sometimes you're not paying for what they've done. You're paying for what they're going to do. And you just got to hope that works out. So Phoenix is one of those situations where they got to bet on the dudes they have now or they got to rebuild it all again, which this front office isn't going to be able to see if that has to happen.
Yeah.
So they got to do it.
It's interesting to see Booker make that money and Jokic make the money that he made ahead of contract negotiations for Porzingis, who I don't think it's a slam dunk that he's going to get the max just because he's had the injury problems. So I'm wondering if like Booker is like kind of setting the market here.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, if you guys don't max Porzingis, don't you think someone's going to give him a max off sheet?
Yeah, I think so. I think there could be some incentives laced in, you know, with games played or whatever with KP just because he's, you know, missed all the time that he has. But I think
when you have a talent like KP, I don't think you mess around and try to lowball him. I think you just get him locked up. Like, I don't think you can – if he has a bitter taste in his mouth coming out of this contract negotiation and he has to maybe even sign an offer sheet with another team to get you guys to pay him, I don't think that bodes well. I think that's such a bad precedent.
Yeah, you don't love it. It's a good thing that KP is not up for contract this year. It's next year. So if he comes back, like, you know, midway through the season and he shows something, like, it's harder to sign that deal if you're the Knicks. If he is out with a torn ACL at that moment. So if you like kind of know he's about to be back for the start of the season and you don't necessarily have to sign the contract like, you know, in a week, it's fine. Yeah, I think you're fine. So not too worried about it. What other news did I want to get to? Oh, I want to get to the Jimmy Butler thing. I think I'm sort of on like Jimmy Butler Island here. I just love Jimmy Butler. I think he's really good. Him kind of not being okay in Minnesota is pretty interesting. I mean, he's got 1 year left on his deal. He could be a trade chip if he demands it. And that's like a swing piece that, I don't know. I mean, that could be a chip that moves. I mean, could that be an LA thing? Could that be, you know, Jimmy moving in the summertime because he doesn't like Karl Anthony Towns? Like, I don't know. What do you think of the Jimmy Butler news?
I mean, let's clear. Tibbs is still president of basketball operations there.
Yeah.
So Jimmy Butler and Derrick Rose are the – and Taj. Sorry, and Taj.
Yeah, don't forget Taj.
Secure players on that team.
The Timber Bulls.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think Tibbs might move on from Wiggins or Cat before he moves on.
Do you think we can interest Tibbs and Joakim Noah? Do you think Tibbs would give, oh man, who, like, we'll take Jeff Teague. A little Teague Noah swap, Tibbs. You interested? A little defensive player of the year, huh?
Look,
little.
I think if you send Tibbs a couple like 10 second long Instagram videos of Joakim Noah working out, and
yes,
he might be into it. He might go for it.
A couple lefty hooks.
Look, he knows what he's getting with him. He doesn't need to see film from the last couple of years. It doesn't matter that he hasn't played the last couple of years. He's got
semantics at this point.
Defensive player of the year.
Yeah. So I don't know. What do you think he moves?
No, I mean, I can't see Jimmy Butler moving yet because they're a pretty promising young team. I think they try to stick it out for a little bit longer. But if it really goes south or they're not performing at the trade deadline, then he's definitely. And that, you know, that's something that becomes interesting with possibly the Lakers if they can't swing anything for Kawhi, or it doesn't look like they can swing it. That's another piece that is out there that could be a big game changer come the trade deadline.
The trade deadline, or even just straight up free agency. I mean, to have Kawhi, Jimmy Butler, and KD all free agents next year. I mean, any of those guys could theoretically go to the Lakers.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, was this boring? Has this been boring or has this been good?
Well, come on. Time flies when you're having fun, Wes. It feels like it's been fun.
Did you watch any of Paul George's documentary of him making his free agent decision? So a lot of guys are doing this, making docs, making films about their free agency decision and stuff like that. I think they're mostly pretty terrible. And they were like, there's like this one scene where Paul George is talking about like contracts and what he could sign with this team, what he could sign with that team. And there's like an Excel sheet, and he's talking about this agent in a dark room. Like, this is just for the cameras. You guys already talked about this. Like, there's no way a week into free agency, you're like, hey, you know, there's this deal, but you know what? There's 4 years with the Thunder. So
I was really excited for the J.J. Redick one last year. I think it was last year.
Yeah.
Did you watch that one?
I did watch it. Yeah, it was not good.
20 minutes, and it was like, but it was really good for like the first 10 minutes, and then it was like, oh, what am I gonna do? Like blah blah. And they like talked about him going to a meeting with Brooklyn or something like that, and then it just cuts. It's like JJ decided to sign 1 year, this money with the 76ers. I was like, we didn't talk about this shit.
They just said it.
Doesn't even cut to him telling his family. It's just like cuts to the like, yeah, I'm really happy for him. I'm gonna be in Philadelphia. It's like, what just happened?
Yeah, it all ended so fast.
Well, then why the fuck do you want to do a documentary?
Yeah. I'm looking for one NBA player to be so buttoned up that the documentary is actually the thing that reveals his choice. It's like Woj doesn't know. Shams doesn't know. Nobody knows. And he just tweets out this video, and you have to watch through all of the video to get through.
The Chris Paul one was the most, sorry.
You know, what do you mean?
The like part series with ESPN about his free agent decision.
I did not see that one.
Oh God, it's awful. Oh. At one point he's just like sitting down and having lunch in like a conference room with Bob Iger, like the head of Disney.
Yeah.
It's like you guys are talking about his free agent. It's like, what is this? No fucking Bob Iger enough to talk about your free agent. And Bob Iger's not giving any advice. He's like, yeah, you know, it's gonna be tough for you. You're a great player. It's like, you guys clearly don't know why you're on TV. All of them end up being like the sound and practice like a good idea, but they're not really. They end up being terrible.
It's got to be a better way.
Well, there's got to be someone that's willing to do it like the real way. Like get in the meetings, get everything, get your whole decision, talking to your family, the good and the bad, because they all want to be fluff pieces. That's ideally what they want to be, but they're not going to be good if they're just fluff pieces. They just suck.
Yeah, agreed. That was all the stories.
I'm excited. I'm excited for the season, and we're not very close, but I'm so pumped. I'm psyched for Summer League. Like, it's going
to
get weird.
Yeah, I'm thinking about making a large wager on the Knicks to win Summer League. Is that stupid?
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Is Ron Baker going to Summer League this year?
No, but I think Luke Kornet can make a big difference.
So I actually liked Luke Kornet, which is the funniest part.
Yeah, he could be good. I like Luke Kornet.
Actually, you know what? I do want to go back. We talked about my text to you about Giannis, right?
Yeah.
And do you remember your response to that?
No.
Oh, boy. Well, so this is all I want to point out. Weston is a Knicks homer to the point of where I text him about Giannis going to be like best player in the East, all this stuff. And he just, all he responds is like, wow, shots fired at Mario Hezonja, but okay. So, you know, Mario Hezonja going to be the new king of New York with Kristaps out. But
don't sleep on Mario Hezonja. I like how the Knicks are really leaning into the European thing. They're just like, we're just going to go all European guys.
Yeah, it was insane to me that the Bucks didn't sign Aaron Baines. Because I was like, oh, I thought we were going to get every Australian in the league, but I guess not.
Just some.
So, oh, did you see that fight in that Australian game the other day?
Yes. Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
People are weird. People like to fight sometimes.
I guess the Philippines get pretty fucking rough. Also, Andre Blatch plays for the Philippines.
Yeah, shouts to Andre Blatch from Upstate New York.
Not something that we need to get into here, but how the fuck does Andre Blatch play for the Philippines?
I have no idea.
I didn't even know Andre Blatch was old enough to still play basketball. I thought he was old as shit.
Yeah, nor did I. It's a bizarre world we live in.
Yes, it is, especially with the NBA. It never stops.
What else? So the Marizonia hype train, that's taken off. That's all I got here. I mean, can edit all this beautiful, loving silence out.
We've been trying to do this for a couple weeks, so the listeners will be pumped too, and like the matter of a week will be real excited.
Okay, so that's it. That's all I got. So let's bring it home. Let's take it home.
Okay. All
right. We're going to see fireworks right now.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. No, not really. I wish I was seeing fireworks. I have a flu.
I saw fireworks yesterday, so.
Yeah, that's cool. Were they explosive?
They're pretty explosive, as explosive as fireworks are.
Also, one more thing before we go. I mentioned this the other day, but I have a wager on Belgium to win the World Cup. It was pretty long odds, and they are still, of course, in the World Cup. Everyone root for me.
Need all the good juju you can get.
Yeah. Or if you have bad juju, like if you don't have any good juju left and you just have the bad juju, give it to the other team. If you're more of a glass half empty juju type of person, just give it to the other team.
Yeah, I'm with you. I actually think Belgium's a good pick. Solid team.
Yeah.
I haven't been getting working life makes it really hard to watch these World Cup games that start at 8 a.m.
See, it's amazing. It's amazing because at the Journal there's TVs everywhere, so the games are on all day. So it's been really good for me actually.
Nice. Have you given the listeners the update on your job? How you're working for you're working for a big company now, and you're a big city boy?
Well, yes. I mean, I did explain in the last podcast that I live in Queens now, and I'm so New York. I'm the king of New York, actually. Wait, I'm the king of Queens. Is that a thing? I am now the king of Queens. I don't think anyone's taken that mantle.
Kevin James
also. No, I don't think so. I think no one's taken that mantle, the king of Queens. I will assume the king of Queens mantle. But no, I don't really need to talk about my job. Let's keep it DL. Let's assume we're both FBI agents. Burt Macklin, FBI.
Alrighty, sounds good.
Alright, bud. Well, bring us home. Bring us home. Bring it home.
You want me to bring us home?
Yeah, bring us home.
Do we have an outro? Should I just do the same thing?
Yeah, no.
Can we retry the intro?
No. Retro? No retro, the intro. Yeah. The outro, usually, we say goodbye. We say that our Twitter handles are working, and we use them. And we also say I love you. Not to each other, to the listeners.
Yeah. Alrighty, Wes. Well, this has been fun, man. You want to follow me on Twitter?
Yeah.
I am at ChrisDrain22. And if you want me on more of these podcasts, throw some 5-star reviews out there. Let Weston know that you want more Chris Drain. Let him know, because I don't think he knows that the listeners love a little bit of me.
If also you want less Chris, still let me know. I'd like to know.
Also 5-star reviews. Still 5-star for that. Don't go 1-star. Still 5-star. Best up in those rankings.
All right, man. And Weston, at Weston Blazy, and then at @pod_chill, which is our Twitter handle, which I think sometimes it's only me on it now. I think it used to be both of us, but now it's just been me lately. But I'm going to get you on it so we can sort of go ménage à trois, if that's what that is.
Yeah, you changed the password on me, so kick me out.
I'm Listen, Twitter changes the rules. I got to update the password. Told me that's I true. Had to. Might have to get a new email. I think our old 5 Angry Men email is still the email of choice, so maybe we just need to. Maybe it's a good throwback, but maybe we just need a new
5 Angry Men. What a good site.
That's really good. Multi-time Emmy award winning site, probably. We'll never know.
Hey, there was some good stuff up there. We did some fun stuff, actually.
We did. There's an archive also, somewhere, maybe.
Also, I still wear my podcast and chill merch, so.
Oh, good, yeah.
We need to make that readily available for our listeners.
Yeah, we'll tweet out the link or something. And the merch is available. I've seen a couple of our close friends wearing it around town, so that's been nice. But we got
are the king of Queens, so I imagine the merch is all over.
I haven't seen it in Queens yet. I gotta be honest. I haven't seen it in Queens, but I've only been here for 3 weeks, so you never know.
Yeah.
All right. Well, this outro has been absolutely ridiculously long. So I think you failed at this. I don't think I'm gonna allow you to do this again.
Yeah. No. That was it was a bad decision. But let me even try. But I appreciate the confidence you had in me.
All right, man. Well, we'll talk soon. And
happy 4th of July to all our listeners. Man. And if you're not in the U.S., happy 4th of July still.
All right. Coming back to you soon, probably next week. Chris, I'll talk to you soon,
buddy. Hey, man. Talk to you later, buddy.
Later.
Bye. He goes, when we are born, we drink coffee with milk and sugar, and then just milk, and then black, and then we drink decaf, and then we die. I'm not sure if this man drinks decaf, but he is close to death.